Joyeux Noël à toutes et à tous, ici le Président Roscoe. Et sur le RTI, on vous souhaite tous un joyeux Noël et une super bonne année. Be good now.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rad, boys and girls. Mark's buzzed off to somewhere, skiing or something, equally skiing. As daft.
Really?
That's nearly as daft as jumping. You know, do you know parachute people? I think they are nuts. Absolutely barking.
They're nuts if they jump out of a plane without a parachute.
Well, no, why would you jump out of a perfectly serviceable aeroplane?
Well, maybe because you want to be on the ground.
Well, wait till the plane lands then.
Well, maybe you need to ablute or something. I don't know. Have you ever jumped out of an aeroplane? I have.
No, I've flown them, but I won't jump out of one.
Right, you've flown aeroplanes now as well?
Yeah, Sibson Aerodrome near Peterborough.
You big girl. I've jumped out of them. I didn't need to fly them. I had people fly me up there and chuck me out.
Yeah, I can't see the point of that. That's some great... if Mike, who was the chief flying instructor at Sibson Aerodrome near Peterborough, is listening, honest, Mike, I never did have that vodka. Really. I've got my fingers crossed when I'm saying that. Anyway, it's Christmas week, boys and girls. Now, this always intrigues me because wherever you go in the world, even in different counties and states and regions, everything's so blasted different.
I know.
Now, you've got to remember that Lee lives up north in England.
Up north. Don't live up north. He doesn't. I live in the Midlands.
Well, you're north of Watford Gap.
We're supposed to be friends. We've known each other since the day we were born. You're supposed to know where I live. I live in the Midlands.
Yeah, but you need a passport to get to there from where I lived before.
Well, yeah, that's because you weren't allowed out.
We just didn't allow you into the London village, you see.
Little village of London.
Little village of London. You don't like people coming in there.
Were you one of the village idiots?
Probably in my case, yeah. and it's really weird how sort of... I mean, if you take Scotland, for example, you know, it's Barons' Night and it's lots of other stuff and it's really traditional. And yet, up until sort of Victorian, into the 30s...
It's not Christmas, that's New Year!
I know, but what I'm saying is how things change. So, up until...
A bit of sticking to fact, dear.
But, I know, you're just being stroppy because of that woman I had a go at earlier. the traditional food for Christmas would have been goose.
You know what? You can't get kebabs at Christmas.
Why?
I don't know. Kebab shops are short.
Well, perhaps
I'd like to be able to go out on Christmas Day, lunchtime, and go and get myself a doner. Not a woman.
Or I could murder.
But you can't.
I could murder for one of them.
Do you like doners?
I love doner kebabs.
Oh, man, next time I come out to see you, I'm going to bring you a doner.
Yes, like it's going to survive the trip. But no, seriously, up until, I think it was the 1930s, the traditional Christmas dinner in the UK was goose.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it became all American and went to turkeys.
I don't carry on. Don't leave me down that. What? No, just move on.
You're going to get all crossing it now, aren't you?
No, I was just thinking of turkey gobbles.
Gobble. Stop. Oh, no, the end of the year is starting as bad as the beginning of the year. And yet, when you come over to Slovakia, on their Christmas Day, which is the day before, well, it's not, but it is.
Sort of, they just get a bit mixed up, haven't they?
Whole of mainland Europe is ahead by this sort of day thing.
Yes.
And they have fish.
Fish, that's right, bacala.
Who?
Bacala.
Bacala?
Well, that's sort of Albanian, but that's close to it.
It's not close. He's a different country, for goodness sake.
Anyway, I'm a travel journalist, I know geography.
Yeah, right. Yes, you know the geography as well. And yet we do. They have sort of carp and stuff here. And you go, and it's really weird. Could you imagine this happening in Tesco's in the UK?
I know what you're going to say. Yeah,
in Tesco's in Slovakia, you can go into Tesco's and they are
just put my microphone down while I blow my nose because otherwise I'm going to do a big sneeze.
Oh no! And there's this mega, or two tanks actually, mega tanks of fish, and you go up to the fish tank and you go, oh, that one.
And I'll have that one.
And they take it out, give it the priest.
It's a bit like, what happens, the difference is between in Slovakia and in Britain is that, right, we have, a dog is not just for Christmas, it's for life.
Right.
In Slovakia, nobody says, a carp is not just for Christmas, it's for life. And they kill it.
Yeah, but it just beggars belief how politically correct the UK is. It's the same company, and yet here, they're very sensible. And in the UK, could you imagine the outcry if you were to have live fish in a tank in a supermarket and go, walk in there, go, I'll have that one. So the shop assistant takes it out, bangs it on the head with a priest, and you take it home. I mean, could you imagine what would happen, Lee?
Well, exactly. Just imagine it this way, because this is true. This is the absolute truth, right? The closest we have in Britain to that is in a supermarket, which ain't too far from here, about 6 miles away. I'm not going to name it.
Okay.
Right. They have a fish tank in there with little goldfish in it and things like that. Well, if somebody went in there, dragged out a goldfish, bashed its head in, there'd be an absolute major outcry.
Like that poor woman earlier in the year.
Who sold one?
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, honestly. No, fish, what do fish do? You know, if you look at a fish, it's like opening its and shutting its mouth, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's trying to say something to you before you bash its brains in.
Yeah, eat
like
me.
Like that. No, you say, leave me alone, leave me alone.
No, saying, eat me. Eat me.
Eat me.
Yes.
And the turkey's going, gobble, gobble.
Stop it. I knew you were going to do that. I really do. So anyway, what's the tradition? what's Christmas fair in Shays Banks?
There's nothing fair about Christmas at all. If I could get to a kebab shop and the pub, that'd be fine.
You're joking.
I'd say it's just a funny thing, isn't it? I'll tell you what I did. Yeah, now, this is the truth about Christmas, right? And I did this yesterday, although I'm not very well, as you know, Eric, and you've not said how you do it.
Anyway, girls, he's got man flu.
I haven't got man flu, girly girls.
He's got man flu, girls.
I'm about to die from a cold.
Which reminds me, I should say a million thanks to the nice people in the hospital in Košice and the nice people at the hospital in Poprad for 2010. Thank you ever so much.
Yeah,
back to you, Lee.
Good one. Yeah. No, I was just saying, like, I think I finally got my own back on womanhood over Christmas shopping yesterday.
Eh? It's not possible.
It is. I took Andrea, right, into 8 different pubs and I didn't buy one drink. Then I went back to the first one and had a pint.
Absolutely excellent. Do you know, I've got a theory about shops.
What's that?
Have I not shared this one before? I think that there's a shop that every man would go shopping in tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's a brilliant model because there would only be one type of baked beans, one type of washing powder, one type of washing up liquid, one type of shaving stuff, one lot of girly smelly things. One of everything.
Are you say girlies are smelly?
No, but they have to have their smellies.
Well, that's why they wear perfume.
Yeah. All right. So you'd have a choice of one per different product.
I think that's a good idea. And the other thing you could do is have no curtains on the changing room.
Right. So
it's really awkward when you're looking in. You're trying to squeak round the curtain there and standing next to you, isn't it?
Yeah. So I did. Now listen, boys and girls, I had this great theory about finding out what Banks has at Christmas. And
what do I have at Christmas?
Yes.
What, in food or...?
What's Christmas dinner like for you?
It's hell. Hell, I have to make it, because Andrea is just a capable of cooking, so I have to make it. I'll make cheese on toast and put a little bit of sprig of holly on it and things like that and deliver it to everybody.
You're joking.
Well, no, last year, I did. You know what I do, and this is gorgeous, and if I could do this as a top tip to the ladies and gentlemen...
Right.
Do your sprouts in butter and garlic and pepper.
That sounds nice. I might do that this year.
It's incredible. And don't put stupid bits of bacon around your sausage, because that just makes it go all floppy and weak and...
What? What are you on about bacon round sausage for?
Sausages in blankets. What? No, you have them over there.
I don't even know what they are.
You put your little sausage inside a little blanket of bacon.
Yeah.
And you stick it in the oven and you bake it.
Right.
Well, the problem with it is, the bacon never gets cooked and the sausage never gets cooked and everybody leaves them.
But is that Christmas dinner?
Yeah, you have them. No, you have other things. You have turkey as well.
Oh, I was going to say, phew.
And what we do over here, and I'm sure you've heard of this, it's very medieval, but it's a bird within a bird within a bird.
Right.
Yeah, you get it sounds very sort of like, what, software? Well, yeah, anyway, it's like you get I don't know, say a pigeon.
Yes.
And you prepare it, and you stuff that inside a turkey, right?
Yeah.
Then you prepare the turkey that you've just stuffed the pigeon in, and then you have, I don't know what you call it now, but where you take all the bones out of a chicken. I suppose it's like a roadkill, but all the bones, right? And then you wrap the chicken around the other two birds and you cook them.
Right. It's a bit like the Indian way of cooking, where they do start off with a goat and end up with a chicken at the last bit.
Well, I thought it was a bit sort of like it was medieval, and it was sort of a criminal thing where you were hiding what you'd actually.
Nah, they still do that in Indian places at weddings. You know, the top.
They still do it in Britain. It's really popular over here now.
Since when?
Since I just told you, people will be flying out now to do it. Everybody will be going out looking for pigeons. Will be going down their own borders.
I start cooking turkey. Because we have this compromise, you see. On the Slovak day, we have fish.
Yeah.
And then on the English day, we have a proper dinner.
Yeah.
Because fish is not a proper dinner, you see, to me. You can have fish as a starter, but it's not proper food.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't agree. Because being a sort of vegetarian, apart from McDonald's and kebabs, I think fish is really good.
No, so here you go. We start on Christmas Eve a la the UK.
Yes.
Right. And you get your turkey out.
Yeah.
You first of all shove, cut, sort of semi-cut an orange, but not totally right the way through, shove up the orifice of the turkey.
Is it dead?
Yes. And plucked. And then we get some sausage meat, and we shove that in the orifice. Right. We then get some, we make sage and onions sort of stuffing with breadcrumbs, and we shove that up the orifice.
Oh, but how big is this turkey when it starts off, and how big is it when you've finished?
Oh, well, I haven't finished yet, but it normally starts off at about...
What, do you park your car up there as well?
There was love, because I say, that's not a turkey, it's only like 8 kilos. I say, that's not a turkey. No, turkeys start at about 15 kilos. And then you get two large packs of butter, slice them up, carefully split the skin away from the breast meat.
On the turkey?
On the turkey, no. Shove the butter down there. All right, in slices. Then you get a couple of kilos of bacon and put it over the top of the breast and over the legs of the turkey.
That's a turkey in blankets.
Right, then you turn the whole thing upside down.
Yeah.
Right.
Kick it through the window. What load of rubbish that
is. And you cook it really, really slowly all night.
All night?
All night.
How do you do it? We've got a slow cooker. Would it do it in a slow cooker, or would you just do it in the,
just in the oven? Just in the oven. Puts in
we water. Can't afford the electric over here for Christmas.
Yeah, right. And then what you do is you turn it back up the next day.
Yeah.
And it roasts off, but you end up with turkey that's been cooking in the juices, so the breast all stays really soft. It's not dried out.
No, when you do it, just poke it, make sure it's dead. Like.
Well, yeah, do that. And then we have to have Brussels.
I mean, in the metaphorical sense of poking it, of course.
Yes. Yes. And we have to have Brussels.
Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts. Right. I like them on toast.
Then we have to have peas, beans, carrots, maybe a little bit of broccoli. Don't touch the cabbage because I hate it.
I love cabbage.
You'd love Slovak food. They have cabbage with everything. They ruin things with cabbage.
I do love Slovakian food. I have Slovak food. I've been there, like, a few times, like.
You I know you have. Yes, I suppose you have.
That's like with you.
Then what you have is proper turkey gravy, Yorkshire puddings as well.
Yeah.
And that's your main course.
Do you use Aunt Bessie's?
No.
You your own?
Yes.
Good egg.
I make me, well, more than what, 3 eggs normally. Yeah. And prior to that, because I'm just a bit of an old 70s boy sometimes, we start off with prawn
cocktail. Around the waist.
Prawn cocktail and toast.
Right.
Yeah. Then we have the
very
turkey.
Working class, dear.
Very. Then we have the turkey.
Yeah.
Then we have Christmas pudding. And this year it's going to be made with genuine, sorry for the plug, Atora suet.
That's all us. Oh,
real. Then we have cheese and bickies.
Yep.
Then we have mince pies.
Yeah.
And all of that has to be done before 3 o'clock in the UK so I can watch the Queen.
When do you actually start drinking?
Well, when you start with the dinner.
Oh, that's what we do. Yeah, in England, that's what we do. We get a bit tipsy while we're doing the cooking. Actually, we get a bit tipsy before we get up.
But
yeah,
there's another tradition here in that the kids don't get their presents until you've had the meal on the second day.
Is that right? That's a bit mean, isn't it?
And typically at 6 o'clock at night.
Does Father Christmas come?
Oh, Father Christmas comes. He
down the chimney.
He tends to leave just good things like fruit.
Aye.
Yeah. He does
so
fruit.
He's got all the money for the presents. Yeah. Dumps you an apple and shoots off. And you get it 2 days late, which is giving him time to vanish.
Well, that explains why the economy in Slovakia is better than the UK, you see.
Well,
as you would expect. And then this all sort of carries on. And then in my case, I make Christmas cake, which is heavier than a builder's brick.
Yeah.
With fruit. And it's a black cake, yeah?
Yeah.
Make one of them. No, he's not burnt.
Well, he should be black.
He should. It's with demerara sugar.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Look up Christmas cake on the web.
Look up.
On the
internet. That's quite Christmassy, isn't it?
Yeah, on the interweb. Have a look on the interweb and you can see Christmas cake. It's black.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed that he started calling the internet interweb? I think that's that he either fancies ducks or it's some sort of affection.
What affection for Jeremy Clarkson, who started it off in the first place?
It was him who started it.
It was years ago. When they used to be the boring version of Top Gear, which, our American friends will understand Top Gear because that's now launched this year in America, but it's on the History Channel, which I can never work out. And our Australian friends will definitely know it because there's a Top Gear Australia. But before it got to the format that you guys have got, which is the same as the English version, Top Gear used to be a bit boring.
It did, actually. I remember that, yeah.
It was terribly boring. And, in fact, it got morose boring. And they started to mess about on it. And that was the time when they started reading out the odd email from a computer that wasn't working on the set.
Yeah.
Because I can tell these things. And that's when Clarkson called it the interweb.
Oh, I see. Do you play weird games? Not weird. Christmas games over there.
Well, any games are weird.
Well, they are here. We've got one over here, which is for single people, and I think it's perhaps the saddest card game ever. Yeah, it's called Strip Solitaire.
Oh, no. Actually, that's really weird because one of the things that hasn't gone from here so much yet is traditional games. You blowing your nose again on it.
I'm ill for Christmas.
Yeah, that boy's going. Actually, I can't work out whether he was breaking wind or blowing his nose.
It was me nose. I'll do one of the other ones after for you. Yeah, you can tell the difference.
But no, they haven't lost the traditional games bit here for Christmas. They play board games.
I get bored with games.
Even adults play board games. And I'm sitting there, and there's a friend of mine who happens to be called Jan, which you haven't met yet. He's nice. He's into technology and stuff, and we play with tech, and I'll occasionally fix his computer, and he learns from it and all that sort of stuff. Now, what tends to happen is the girls go away and play board games because he and I are terribly bored. And a minute after that...
That's my joke that I just made about 30 seconds ago, that you stole and tried to make your own, when everybody knew that I'd just done it.
Oh, my word. And we'll get soldering irons out and play with stuff.
Like fence. Make it a bit dangerous. Like really dull, like, things. Anyway, carry on. Yes.
That's, and we'll sort of make things with electronics and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Everything from... audio senders, little transmitters, all sorts of stuff.
That's not a game, though, is it? That's not like Strip Solitaire, is it?
Well, no, but it does have beneficial, long-term beneficials. you know, benefits.
I bet it has the same sort of mental reason for existence.
No, because I think since the last time you were here, there's a sort of little mini shopping parade that's arrived. Yeah. I don't know if you remember years ago, you used to have Tandy's in England, didn't you?
Yeah.
Which is Radio Shack in America. And, of course, they closed it down in England. Don't know
right.
why. And now there's other shops that are arrived. But we've got a goodies shop.
Yeah.
An Eric goodies shop in Bobrad now. You can go in there and buy special resistors and little bits of board and little components and stuff to make things with. And that it's wonderful, Lee.
There's a little shop in that little market town that we were talking about earlier, just down the road from me.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you what the name of that one is either, but basically you can go in there at any stage and buy anything from a telephone to a television to firelighters, anything. You basically buy anything, food. And you know what? The common denominator all the way through it is that nothing works.
What?
Yeah, you bring it home and it's... Well, the phone I've got now. I'm going to take it back because it's like it's the speakerphone and it never speaks.
Well, you have to get people to phone you up first, dear.
Nobody phones me up because nobody likes me. I am going to spend another Christmas by myself with nobody phoning me. Yo, how many Christmas cards have you got?
None.
None?
No.
Haven't you?
No.
Well, I haven't either.
There's a good reason for that.
Because you don't send anybody to anybody else.
No, I only send electronic ones.
So you had no electronic ones either?
No, I've got electronic Christmas cards, but not paper ones.
I haven't got any. I haven't even got an electronic one.
Yeah, I've got some electronic ones, but...
Are you sending me an electronic one?
But if I told you that, wouldn't be a surprise when you got it, would it?
Yeah, it'd be a surprise if I get one. Don't tell you. I got you a Christmas present. I know we're not supposed to buy each other Christmas presents.
Oh, no.
But I have bought you a Christmas present, which you will adore.
Are you going to tell me what it is?
Stig on a rope.
Stig on a rope. I've got one lovely Christmas present, which I should say thank you to Dan in Washington for, because he arranged it. I've got and one of the Christmas decorations that are the official President Obama Christmas decoration, which is limited edition, that comes from the White House.
Can I have one?
No, there isn't any more. They're gone. All gone.
Really?
Hmm.
Well, yes. Obama taking them all home?
No. They do it every year. It's a limited edition. So you have to know somebody in the know. Or you just have to sort of take your luck on what's left over on a website. And they're made by the equivalent of the Mint, the place where they make all the money in America.
The Mint?
The Mint.
What is it in America? It's not the Mint in America, is it?
No, it's something else. I can't remember what it is.
Well, I can't remember.
And they have these specially designed each year. They're always unique. And each president, for each year, he's got his own little decoration-y thing. And they come in a proper box, authenticated, you know, the proper bit of paper with them, picture of the White House, and la 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 la. And I think there's about 15,000 made a year or something like that, max. So they're probably...
Have you got one?
I've got... This is my
We've actually just discussed these before, because if you remember, I valued them for you, didn't you?
Yes. Well, I've got several of them now. Quite a lot, actually.
Really?
Set
some. My headphones out, so if you can just bear with me for a second.
Bear with you. Oh, no.
I'm going away. Something I'll tell you I did for Christmas, which I can't find my hole. I'll do it like Commando.
Right, do it Commando, okay.
I
can't,
found my hole. I
was trying to explain the fashion version of Commando to somebody the other day, and I gave up.
Why?
Oh, the microphone's
coming out now. We've got a couple of minutes left of this year, boys and girls, and I apologise that the technical standard of this programme never ceases to amaze me how it can go down.
I think it's an amazing standard. Well, I bought, right, this is true, right, this is not a joke, and it's not, this is absolutely the truth. I bought a special knife for Christmas.
Right.
It's actually, I think it should be banned, because it's so incredible. It's called a super, with an A, knife.
Right.
And it is so sharp, man. It is lethal. I cut cheese with it yesterday, and it was a new cheese that I'd never had before, so I licked some off the knife, and I've cut my tongue. It's now a talk with forked tongue. It's like a lizard. It doesn't
have you been practising these all week?
What?
All the punchlines.
No. Oh, you told me I couldn't come. You told me not to practice anything. Just do it off the cuff.
Well, it's different. So, did we actually get to the bottom line of what you're having on Christmas? Are you having turkey this Christmas?
I don't really know. We'll decide next week. I suppose we will be. Yeah, I suppose we will.
Really?
I don't like meat. It's a God's honest truth. I don't really get on with meat very well.
And is that why you're always solo? Because you don't like meeting people?
Well, I do have a problem. I do have a problem with meeting people.
That went over his head, didn't it, boys and girls?
No, it didn't. I was just developing it. I was developing it into a surreal thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
I gave up, though, when you said that.
Oh, I must remind everybody to watch out. Yeah. Because lots of you have been asking for a place in which we can give you archives of programmes. And we've done it for you. There'll be more news about that on RTI.fm in January. I'm about 2 weeks behind on a little project I was doing there for you. But watch on there, and you will have access to months' worth of programmes.
I have no idea.
Go on.
It's just very simple. We had a message. I know we're not doing messages, but we had a message off Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very simple. He says, "Happy Christmas, but what's happened to you and Eric? Where are you?"
She's not
been able to find us for the last couple of weeks.
Is there?
Well, isn't what you've just been saying, explaining that to her?
Well, a little bit, yes.
Yeah, she was a bit upset. The Duke's been the same. The Duke sent us a message. I'll just tell you very quickly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says, "Happy Christmas, chaps." This is the Duke, innit?
Mm.
"Off for a night in St. Helens. Loads of women with hairy ears on the pool there."
Sorry, St. Helens. I'm sure you're all wonderful people, and it's just him.
Yeah, he's just got hairy ears.
It is indeed. Anyway, it's time for us to go, boys and girls. I'll tell you what, we'll play that little montage of all those people in different languages. Saying Happy Christmas. And I thank you to all the contributors who've done that, from America at one end of the planet to Israel at the other end of the planet and bits in the middle. So thank you ever so much. I'm going to say Happy Christmas, one and all. We'll try and do next week a little montage. So if you've got anything you want to hear again, a little montage of 2010, which will be the postcard from Pop Rad, I'm going to say Happy Christmas. I'm going to leave it to him over there to close the show for a change.
What do we do, Eric?
I don't know, Lee.
Anyway, thank you. No, I think that's incredible. How long have I got?
About 10 seconds.
Oh, all right, then. Well, have a really good Christmas, everybody. We'll see you before the new year. Don't get too involved in your three-bird thing. And have a lovely, lovely Christmas. And tell us what you want on next week. Happy Christmas, everybody. Bye-bye.
And don't forget, if you're driving, don't drink.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from LA. You're listening to RTI and the Emperor Roscoe. May all your Christmas boxes be big and magnificent. Just like me.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.